good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in a rainy downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show for you today. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio will be joining us at 10:33, right after the 10:30 news. Looking forward in the 11 o'clock hour to talking to Reverend Mark Elden, who is a minister and executive director of Press House and also a co-founder of Rooted Good, which is a nonprofit that helps churches think creatively about how to use their spaces. So we're going to talk to the Reverend Mark Elden at 11:06 about repurposing churches.
Great.
And how that's going. This is based in Madison right now, so we will find out more about that. Breaking news right as we came on the air, the Associated Press reporting that Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle has resigned after the assassination attempt against former President Trump at a rally, which was about 2 weeks ago. And now the announcement, House Speaker Mike Johnson and Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries have announced the creation of a bipartisan task force to investigate this assassination attempt. The Louisiana Republican Johnson, Jeffries, the New York Democrat, say the task force will have all of the investigative authority of the House, including the power to issue subpoenas. It will be made up of 13 members, 7 Republicans, and 6 Democrats. That is good.
That's excellent.
We can actually do things together.
Yes, we should know exactly what happened.
Absolutely, and where these failures were. That was unacceptable.
Yes.
AOC called for her yesterday to resign.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of agreements on this. Again, if you missed it, just as we came on the air, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle resigning after the assassination attempt against the former president. So we will keep you updated with that. Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, now the almost presumptive Democratic nominee. She's got a lot of support.
Yeah.
In the last 2 days. It's been remarkable.
I told you this yesterday after I felt good yesterday. Like, I felt good. It felt good.
It's nice to see people uniting behind her as the potential candidate. That's not going to be official until the convention, correct?
Correct.
That's when the anointing occurs.
Yeah, she has to get all the delegates together in the room. They have to pledge their votes. Once they do that, they can remember, you've done it. And then she'll be like, I've done it.
Come down and
people shake hands.
All
and,
the things.
And then it begins.
Yeah, and at least from what I'm seeing this morning, and she is vetting like 5 candidates for her potential vice president.
Yeah.
What I saw this morning was that it's down to 2 right now. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro.
Not even Mark Kelly?
Not even Mark Kelly.
Oh.
These are the last 2. Again, this is a very fluid situation.
I do have some breaking news. Joe Manchin, senator, has said he will not serve as the VP.
Oh.
In continuing coverage, he has yet to be asked to do so. Just want to let the people know, we're here, breaking news here at Matt Nair on Air.
You don't have to ask.
No.
I'm not going to do it.
No.
That's okay. No, thanks.
No, I've got things to do.
No, it's okay. All right. Yes, Vice President Kamala Harris going to stop in Milwaukee today.
Yeah.
Of course, civic media will be there. We will be either cutting in and out. She's expected to speak after 1 o'clock this afternoon. Mm-hmm. This will be her campaign, the first rally of her own presidential campaign.
Yeah.
She was at the Biden-Harris, now the Harris headquarters yesterday in Delaware. It was pretty great.
Yeah.
If you had the opportunity to watch it. So we will keep you posted on that as well. Lots of things we wanted to start with, though. Especially the Republican vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance.
Oh, the new guy.
The new guy. Let's get to know J.D. Vance.
Get to know you.
He was at a rally on Monday.
Yes.
In Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this kind of weird clip about Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
So, Calvin, if you're ready for that, let's play that clip, please.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own.
That we'll get to that clip in a minute because that's one of my favorite clips.
That's just wonderful.
It is. You got the Diet Mountain Dew one ready to go, Cal? No worries.
I have missed that one. I will pull it up.
How about J.D. Vance on divorce. Let's start with that one instead. This is J.D. Vance, comments he has made previously about what is the problem in our country, and it's divorce.
Yeah.
And this is one of the great tricks that I think the sexual revolution pulled on the American populace, which is this idea that, like, well, okay, these marriages were fundamentally, you know, they were maybe even violent, but certainly they were unhappy. And so getting rid of them and making it easier for people to shift spouses like they changed their underwear, that's going to make people happier in the long term. And maybe it worked out for the moms and dads, though I'm skeptical, but it really didn't work out for the kids of those marriages.
Ladies, you just should have stayed.
Yeah.
In your violent, abusive marriage.
Because the kids are unhappy. And when that's the most important thing, is to make sure that the kids are happy.
I find it remarkable that he believes that children are not impacted by living in a home with violence.
I think that he either has no understanding of what that means for a child to live in, and not even let's take violence out of it. And that is important to talk about, but even in a marriage where the parents do not love or like each other and there's just fighting, that has its own significant impact. You add violence to that, it gets worse and worse and worse. And for him to just blindly say, you know, it may have some violence. There might be violence, but I know people who are on their second and third marriages, and all of them are happier than they were in their first one. And for him to just sort of say, like, oh, we're hopping from person to person, that's not how it works. And the fact that you don't know a single divorced person in your life, J.D. Vance, apparently.
Yeah, right.
Who's ever said, man, I'm really glad I got out of that. I'm much happier now. There are going to be people who are upset. Oh, my God, I can't believe they left me. That makes me sad, but that's a different conversation. What you're talking about, J.D. Vance, is disgusting.
Well, and I would be interested to hear from anyone who grew up in a violent household, even if it was only verbal violence, and how that impacted you and your view of how relationships should be.
Yeah.
And what constitutes a normal, healthy relationship.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I think J.D. Vance is way off on that. Are we ready now with the Mountain Dew? Oh, Kevin's still looking. We're also going to talk a little bit about unity.
Oh, yes.
The big message after the tragic, horrific attempt on President Trump's life a couple of weeks ago at the RNC, which was just last week. Donald Trump said, I am running to be president for all of America, not half of America, because there is no victory in winning for half of America. On Truth Social today, there are but two parties now, traitors and patriots. So much for the whole unity thing.
They don't care about you. They care about unity within their own party. And even still, it's like, yeah, we're not, you and I, we are not in there. The only way we become part of them is if we just
acquiesce.
We get up, we put down our stuff, and we say, you know what? You are all right. Absolutely. And this whole thing of patriots. And also, tell me who were the people who stormed January 6th?
Oh, they were patriots and heroes.
That's right. I forgot.
Antifa first. It was Antifa until they all started getting convicted.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. And then
now they're hostages and patriots.
And patriots who he plans to pardon.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think it's would be worth your time to Google some of the people who are now behind bars and some of the things that they did on January 6th. Mm-hmm. Attacking our Capitol, attacking the Capitol Police, attacking other officers who came to support them. Speaking of unity, Kevin, do we have George Lang? This was in Ohio also, was it?
Yes, he opened for J.D. Vance. This is a state senator named George Lang who got on the podium beforehand and was chanting the same thing. Now they're all chanting in
unity? They're chanting about unity?
Oh, no. Something far more aggressive. Calvin, can you play that?
Fight! 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 We got time. Come on. Hey, we are in the fight for the soul of our nation. We are in a fight for our kids and our grandkids, a fight that we can never imagine. I believe wholeheartedly Donald Trump and Butler County's J.D. Vance are the last chance to save our country politically. I'm afraid if we lose this one, it's going to take a civil war to save the country, and it will be saved. It's the greatest experiment in the history of mankind. And if we come down to a civil war, I'm glad we got people like Schmitty and the Bikers for Trump on our side.
Oh. Well, now that's so lovely and unifying. Nothing was more unifying for this country than the Civil War.
That didn't sound like an idea about discourse. It didn't say, I'm glad we've got these PhDs who can talk about the interesting ideas of economics and taxation. No, no, we got bikers here who will beat you up if you don't come along with us because this is a civil war. All right. Now, granted, he did walk his statement back, Mr. Lang.
I'm sure he did.
He did because he got caught. That's how most of it works now. You say sorry not because you're sorry. You say sorry because someone heard you.
Well, they heard you and then they weren't happy with that.
Yeah.
Because that seems like a real hard turn from last week. I'm president of all America. What good is being president of half of America? And now there are only two parties, traitors and patriots.
Oh, I know which one I belong to, I guess.
We're going to continue this conversation and highlight a couple things about Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Who is going to be speaking in Milwaukee today. We're expecting her to speak sometime after 1 p.m. And of course, Civic Media will be there to keep you updated. So be listening to Todd Alba joins us right after our show from noon to 2 p.m. And then Maggie Dawn, Matt Rothschild filling in for Maggie today from 2 to 4 p.m. You can always join our conversation if you would like at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are getting to know Republican Vice Presidential Candidate J.D. Vance just a little bit. We'll do a little contrast and compare to Kamala Harris, who again is running now for president, but has been VP for the last 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin, let's play that childless cat ladies clip. This is when J.D. Vance was talking with Tucker Carlson.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. Mm. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And yes, it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
You're right. I'm childless and catless.
Me too.
And I just don't care about this country. I have no investment in this country. I don't have nieces or great nieces or close friends who have daughters or anything. Yep, I'm just... Yep.
Or you don't even care about life in the future in general.
Pretty much.
You just
there's, well, what's the point of living? I don't have a child and I don't have cats. I'm a double loser.
And also, the thing that sticks with me too is the whole... one, yeah, as you said, Pete Buttigieg has children, and lumping him in with the childless cat ladies, I just sound like a homophobic dig too. I don't know. Just J.D. Vance, he's a piece of work all around.
Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thank you for joining us. How you doing?
Yeah, you wanted to hear from somebody who grew up in an abusive relationship. I'm 57. My dad beat the hell out of me, nearly killed my mom.
I'm so sorry, Troy.
When around 5 or 6, she left him twice. The first time I went with her. The second time, I thought I was taking turns, so I stayed with him. The next day, she came to get some stuff, and he talked me into going out to talk to her, to tell her I wanted her to come home, which I did, and she never left him again.
Oh, Troy, I'm so sorry. I am so sincerely sorry. And obviously this still rips you up.
Yes, it does. When I turned 18, I joined the service. And before I left basic training, she left him for the last time. And got out of there.
Good.
Good for her. And did she go on to have a good life?
Yes, she did.
Excellent.
For the most part. She's still alive. He's still alive. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, I think you're a perfect refutation of what J.D. Vance has said, that, sorry, you know, it's better for the kids if you stay in a bad marriage, especially if you need to stay in a bad, abusive marriage for the sake of your children. Thank you so very much for sharing that, Troy. I'm sure that was really painful for you. 855-752-4842. If you're watching in the live stream, leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And if you have a similar story that you would be willing to share with us, we would absolutely like to talk to you if you can share. Again, you can hear the pain in his voice, and he's 57 years old now.
Yeah. It shows that these types of situations have ripple effects that last for decades.
Decades. Decades and decades and decades. Absolutely. 855-752-4842. J.D. Vance says, we're being led by a country of childless, unhappy cat ladies, referring to Kamala Harris. Apparently, she has no qualifications for anything.
None.
She's not. She's never done anything. What did he say yesterday? Oh, he said she's been on. What has she done but take a government check for the last 20 years?
Well, that just shows. Does she have experience or no experience there, J.D. Vance? You've been in the office for 18 months. You took a government check. You take a government check now. You took a government check when you were in the military. I mean, just because they're not as big as the ones that you earn with your hedge fund or whatever you do to get that cool fleece vest, it doesn't mean that she's unqualified. And I'm tired of hearing that. That just is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm tired of career politician being used as a hit towards those who, Tammy Baldwin, Kamala Harris, who do the work and decide to dedicate their lives to public service, which, yeah, they probably have way more money than me, but they're not making the kind of money they'd make in the private sector. So, sorry, career politician, if it comes with a resume or if it comes with a history of getting things done, I don't see that as a bad thing.
Calvin, let's play that clip from Kamala Harris questioning Attorney General Bill Barr under the Trump administration about whether or not Donald Trump had ever asked the Department of Justice to go after anyone. Let's play that clip real quickly before we hit to the news.
Attorney General Barr, has the president or anyone at the White House ever asked or suggested that you open an investigation of anyone?
I wouldn't.
Yes or no?
Could you repeat that question?
I will repeat it.
Yell it.
Has the president or anyone at the White House ever asked or suggested that you open an investigation of anyone? Yes or no, please, sir?
The president or anybody else.
Seems you'd remember something like that and be able to tell us.
Yeah, but I'm trying to grapple with the word suggest. I mean, there have been discussions of matters out there that they have not asked me to open an investigation, but
perhaps they've suggested.
I don't know. I wouldn't say suggest.
Hinted?
I don't know.
Inferred?
No.
You don't know. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That was Bill Barr, the former Attorney General of the United States of America, a graduate of Columbia University and attended George Washington University for his to get his law degree could not understand the definition of suggest, which is to mention or imply as a possibility to serve as a motive or inspiration for.
You know what my biggest takeaway from that clip is? He understands the word grapple, but not suggest. Come on, Bill. I'm disappointed you didn't have a better... Jeez.
I can't ascertain the true fluidity of your questionnaire, Madam Senator.
Grappling with the word suggest. Just a reminder.
Yeah.
August 13th.
Mm.
Wisconsin goes to the polls. I know, again.
Yeah, we always do.
We always do. Two very, very important constitutional amendments on the ballot. We have talked about this in the past. I'm a little concerned that not enough people are still aware of what this would do and essentially consolidate the control of even more money for the Republican-controlled legislature. That's a pretty simplistic explanation, but we're going to talk about this a little bit more with Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow. He will be here after we return. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Give us a call. Send in a text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hello, hello. Doing well. I'm at the car dealership right now, and I'm in the kid waiting room. It's the closest thing I could get to a soundproof booth. So I can offer you some Mott's fruit treats.
Nice, nice.
Some mini chocolate chip cookies here. Of course, we got the goldfish as well. I had to prove that I'm in a little kid waiting room because I don't want you thinking, I must say my Russian hosts treat me very goodly. They are not at all scripting words coming from my talking hole. This is what you have to do when your car goes on the fritz in this day and age.
Oh man! So how long do you think they're going to have you there?
I want to stand by the kids' room door just to again prove this is not at all a hostage situation. I don't know. Whatever it takes them until they feel like I've spent enough money is when they're going to be done with me.
The question is, did they have to throw children out to get you in there?
No, there were no children here, and I keep waiting for one just to kind of look and stare at me like, why is that old man in the room all by himself?
Why are you here?
Nobody.
Don't look him directly in the eyes, honey. Let's go.
He looks lonely.
In fact, I see on my screen here, they just sent a text message. Get this. Not only do they text you when your car is about ready, they send along a video. There's now a play-by-play of the tech with the camera phone saying, okay, I'm going in for spark plug number one now. And then they turn the wrench, and then they move the camera. I'm like, I don't need a play-by-play. Am I paying for this?
What are you paying to get a YouTube video sent to you?
Right. So anyway, I guess when I'm done here, I'll be done there, unless I have to wash dishes in order to afford the bill.
Well, keep us posted. Hopefully you'll be back in the studio ready to go. I'm sure you will tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. You can catch Pat's show across many of our Civic Media radio stations. Pat, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today, and we're going to get to the constitutional amendments that are going to be on the ballot here in Wisconsin on August 13th. A lot of people still don't know what those are and what they do. Sherry from Horicon texted in and said, when I looked up the two amendments here in Horicon, the first one sounds like we should vote yes. Are they the same ones you have? We're going to get to that in a little bit. Don't vote yes.
Exactly. I mean, look, if you've loved the way that they've sat on, you know, more than nearly $200 million in money, just wait till they get the chance to sit on billions of dollars and do nothing with it. Because, again, remember what Ron Johnson said. If we actually passed bills and did things around here, we'd be Democrat light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ron Johnson, of course, famously said, I think it would be better if we never passed any more legislation at all.
Yeah.
And so far, he's been really, really successful at that. One of the best things he does is talk to Maria Bartiromo on Fox.
Oh, those two. My goodness. All the time. Just give them their own show already so that I have more things to ignore about Ron Johnson and Maria Bartiromo.
I just don't understand what he has brought to his constituents. Oh, I
can answer. Nothing.
Oh, nothing. Okay, thank you.
Nothing,
all right.
Nothing.
But I want to go back to Donald Trump at a rally over the weekend in Michigan. And there is so much news that it's really easy to forget everything that's coming down the pike and keeping everything straight. But I do think it's important to point out a couple of things that Donald Trump has said, especially regarding very, very wealthy people. Let's take a listen to that clip, Calvin. This is Donald Trump at his Michigan rally over the weekend.
And so are other. We have to make life good for our smart people, you know? We have some smart people. We have to make life good for our smart people. And he's as smart as you get. But Elon endorsed me the other day, and I read, I didn't even know this, he didn't even tell me about it, but he gives me $45 million a month.
A month. We have to be good to rich people, Pat, because they are struggling.
It's not easy to come up with $45 million a month. Oh, wait, yes, it is, if you're the world's richest man. A quick reminder, you and I can write out a check for the presidential candidate of our choice for $3,300. I believe that is the current maximum contribution. But if you happen to have a spare $45 million sitting around, you can send that to a political action committee, which will basically do the same thing. So there are no rules anymore when it comes to this nonsense.
Well, and we can thank Citizens United and allowing that money is speech, which is what they decided, and that corporations are people. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mitt Romney, and that whole bunch, for this, and essentially allowing ultra-wealthy people to buy our democracy. That's what this does.
Yeah, and I think the let's do the math, too. Between July and November, $45 million a month is $225 million. So much can be done. That's not being given to food banks, not being given to homeless shelters, to programs to help people get back on their feet, not to help Americans. It's being given to a campaign by a rich guy who also, in my opinion, has done little to nothing for this country.
And all in the name of making sure that they pay as few taxes as possible.
Exactly.
Which is the one thing we ask of people who've been wildly successful, is that they pay their fair share in taxes so that we don't end up with an aristocracy instead, where everybody just inherits everything and eventually all of the money goes upward. We tried that for, you know, thousands of years, and this seems to work a little better when people play by the rules.
Well, exactly. And that is the whole, and we're going to be talking more about the tax plan that the Trump administration is putting forward and just what that would do for the average American. Trust me, it ain't good. And for really, really wealthy people, it would work really well for them.
Yeah, it always does.
Yeah, shockingly.
I know.
Talking about Donald Trump at his rally in Michigan over the weekend, and much like the abortion issue, Pat Kreitlow, they can't back away from this fast enough. Now that the public is finally learning about Project 2025, and we've talked about this for months, and we'll continue to talk about this. And now that the public is becoming more aware, they don't like it. And so now Donald Trump and all the Republicans are like, Project what? I never heard it.
What?
Project 2, maybe.
The only
I heard
project
of.
I have is Project Runway. What am I doing here? I don't even like, I don't like long books. It's a long book. I don't read Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter.
The Alan Parsons Project. That's all I know.
I like that too.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Let's play that clip, Calvin, about Project 2025 from the weekend rally.
Like some on the right, severe right, came up with this Project 25, and I don't even know. I mean, some of them I know who they are, but they're very, very conservative, just like you have. They're sort of the opposite of the radical left, okay? You have the radical left, and you have the radical right, and they come up with this project. I don't know what the hell it is. It's Project 25. He's involved in Project. And then they read some of the things, and they are extreme. I mean, they're seriously extreme. But I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know anything about it. But what they do is misinformation and disinformation.
That is so reassuring that he doesn't want to know anything about it. There's nothing I love more than a person who completely lacks curiosity. I find that so comforting.
I know we're skewing old with this reference, but do we really need Sergeant Schultz as our president? He's like, I know nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. And it's such a lie. This whole thing is made up by people who are just, his administration was awash in people.
Yes.
Who have now had a hand in this. He has talked about it privately in the past. He knows what this is. And again, it's that fake moderation to say, oh yeah, there's this extreme right out there. I might be part of it, but no, trust me. I've never heard of this thing that was written by all the people super close to me. It's insulting. It's disingenuous. And I am deeply appreciative that people are now hearing and learning more about it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that really had to change when you formed companies like Civic Media, like Up North News, was that, you know, in my news career, you typically did a story once. That was it. You said, I'm sure the viewer will get the details. No, it goes in, it goes out. You have to share stories like these over and over and over again. And as especially political communications consultants will tell you, it's only when you're sick of hearing yourself talk about it that it's just starting to sink in with some people. And I want to emphasize, it's only starting to sink in on some people. A whole lot of our friends and neighbors have no idea what Project 2025 is. But as we keep talking about what Trump's allies would do in a second term, it is sinking in. And polling, like you said, is starting to show people going, I don't want this. This isn't what this new, fresh business guy told me in 2016. No, he just became another career right-wing politician.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, Pat, with regard to the, when you said there are a lot of people who don't know what Project 2025 is. We've had people call in and say, like, people don't know what it is. My friends don't. It's not a big deal. You don't have to worry about it. Just because you don't know about something doesn't make it not real. So get right. Yourself. And also, I just want to say something as a side. I know it can be found as a joke, but I really find it very entertaining, I should say. Whenever Trump purports the idea that he's read something, he's like, I read this. When you read this, I'm like, you never read anything. Well, he would read it. It's got his name in it 300 times.
Oh, what coincidence.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
So odd.
Probably some pictures of him, too, holding a Bible upside down. And
well, at one point, he said he had no idea what was in it. This was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He had no idea what was in Project 2025, but he didn't like some parts of it. Well, if you didn't read it and you don't know what's in it, how can you disagree with what's in it?
Well, maybe he saw the flashcard version of it where they just hold up a picture of Scrooge McDuck, you know, climbing a mountain of gold coins and says, this is the tax part of 2025. And he says, oh, okay, I'm good on that. I'll just pretend I never heard about it.
Pat Kreitlow is our guest. He's the host of Up North News Radio from 6 to 8 a.m. on a number of stations across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about Project 2025 right now and exactly what this would do. It would fill the government with Trump loyalists, mm-hmm. and they would not be appointed on their expertise or their years of service in any industry whatsoever. It's whoever loves Trump the most gets the job. And I equated this yesterday, Pat, with think of your least accomplished cousin who's had a series of jobs that he can't keep. Bunch of failed relationships. He's not a horrible guy, but he was at January 6th. He served some prison time. Now he's getting out and he's getting a job in the administration because he's a good guy.
I was worried I was one of those cousins at first. Okay, never mind. Sorry.
They are counting on the fact that they're picking on something that is so boring when it works properly. if I were to start talking to anybody at my family Thanksgiving table about how the civil service should be nonpartisan, and
right,
you know, they just start dozing off. You have to say, folks, listen, civil service or whatever you would call bureaucrats or whatever the case may be, you may not find them perfect, but think about what the world would be like if the only way you could have a job in government is not through your knowledge, not through your independence, but through your blind loyalty to somebody. And even if you like Trump, just give them the other shoe test. If the shoe were on the other foot, would you want Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, you know, Kamala Harris, would you want them to form a government just of toadies? And of course they wouldn't like that either. So it takes a little explanation, but it's that extra time that's going to make things worth it, both for those constitutional amendments, which sound good but are bad,
right,
in August, and this election in November.
And we're going to talk about those next, the two constitutional amendments that will be on the August 13th ballot here in Wisconsin. In some cases, that might be the only thing mm-hmm. on the ballot. Yep. And that's why it's really important that you get out to vote. We do not want these to pass.
Where can they go to find more information about it?
They could go to myvote.wi.gov.
Genius.
I know. Stay close. Pat Kreitlow is here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Joined by our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. You can catch him on a number of civic media stations early mornings. He does the early shift from 6 to 8 a.m. We were talking a little bit about Donald Trump's rally in Michigan over the weekend, where he said, I don't know anything about Project 2025, but I hear it's bad.
Project 2020 who?
And the other thing that jumped out at me, Pat, before we talk about these two state constitutional amendments on the Wisconsin ballot, he really likes dictators a lot.
Oh, my goodness.
He does.
Loves them. Makes no apologies whatsoever. You know, Kim Jong-un and Putin and said, they love me. They love me. The Saudis, they love me. Why might that be? And he likes to say it's because he's a tough guy. No, it's because he's a pushover. He's a tool. He's always been, you know, that kid from Queens or Brooklyn. I forget which borough he's from, who's always tried to make it big in Manhattan. And he never got involved, was allowed to sit at the big boys table.
Yep.
And now he's trying so hard, and he's getting the same treatment from these dictators who just find him to be useful. Even now, during the campaign, in the way that he's always trashing the U.S., calling Biden the worst president, everything about the economy, which is actually the envy of the world right now, he continues to do their bidding, and hopefully can only do that for another 105 days.
Well, and the Russian media is freaking out that Joe Biden has now stepped aside so that Kamala Harris can run. They're losing their minds over this.
Yeah. Yeah, because they thought that there was a good chance that that Trump could win, which I would take issue with. But they're seeing what the chance there was, you know, start to fade away as more American voters kind of understand that there's a generational change here going on. I think a lot of it, too, though, I mean, remember, it's Russian TV. So a lot of this is just for show as well. But it does illustrate what people overseas think. When I heard him talk at the convention about you know, that we need to restore our position in the world where we were when he was in office. I mean, I choked. It's like, wait, have we all forgotten what an embarrassment? We moved from embarrassment to embarrassment,
yes,
throwing paper towels to hurricane victims and things like that. And I think most folks between now and November will remember that's not a place where we want to be.
Well, and this quote just really jumped out at me. This is from a guy who is on this Russian state television. The Biden administration failed at everything. Name one project where they've succeeded. There aren't any. They couldn't even kill or imprison Trump. So to them, killing or imprisoning your opponent is a win.
I loved that. That is a, like, oh, do we mean they helped with middle class taxes or job creation? No, they
no.
failed to jail or kill their political opponents. Biden has failed. Well, okay, I guess by that measure, guilty.
One of the other things they talk about in the article is that, you know, it seemed like the GOP and the Rush, anybody who was against Biden had a strategy. And that was basically, he's old, he's out of his mind, he's sick, blah, blah. He's gone now, so that's no longer the case. And there's another quote that says, now he has to come up with something new to change the subject and draw attention to himself. And that's hard to do after all the stakes were raised so high. And I thought about that, too. Like, this is really the first time we've talked about him in any sort of detail in the past couple. You usually talk about him a lot. And he's not really the news story right now. They're now in like this order. It's Kamala. It's Joe Biden, J.D. Vance, Diet Mountain Dew, and Donald Trump. And if you know Donald Trump's brain, if you've read any book about him, this is a torturous world he's living in where he is not the top of the news story.
Center of attention.
On everyone's tip of their tongues. And he's got to be freaking out right now just to the fact that no one is sort of caring about him at this moment.
Right. He is literally old news.
Yeah.
And people are ready to move on. And look, if Republicans somehow had done this first and it was Biden still on the ticket, the conditions would be the same. Like, wait, do we want to go with the same old guy or do we want to embrace something new? And that's what I'm sure is going to attract big crowds to, you know, the Milwaukee area today for Vice President Kamala Harris, and will only continue to grow in the future, I think.
Pat Kreitlow is our guest. In the couple of minutes we have left, Pat, these two constitutional amendments that will be on the August ballot essentially just hands over control of billions of dollars in federal money over to the Republican Party so they can sit on it and not do anything.
Yeah, this is a group that is still sitting on $125 million that was meant to clean up PFAS contaminated water. They're sitting on $15 million that was designed for Chippewa Valley hospitals. They're sitting on $50 million that was designed to fund a brand new reading and literacy mandate. Well, it's now an unfunded mandate because they're sitting on it. And what they were always stomping their little feet and pouting about was that they weren't able to put the brakes on, $1 billion or so in federal pandemic aid that came in because Governor Evers was given the authority to do the allocation of the money, did not have to go to the legislature, which would have bottled it all up in the name of spending restraint, you know, or something like that, when the money just would have gone for use in other states, you know, like the high-speed rail money and, you know, the Medicaid expansion money. These are folks that have no plan, who do not want to make investments in all of Wisconsin. And so these constitutional amendments are seeking permission to do that with federal aid in the future. So if you want them to bottle up more money that could otherwise help the economy or help people in need, then, you know, then you'd vote yes. But if you actually like our money to be managed well and get to the people that need it, then you need to vote no on this power grab by Republican lawmakers.
And that's essentially what it is. Again, ever since Scott Walker lost his job to Tony Evers, they've been very, very cranky about that. And they want to just take away all the governor's powers and give it to themselves until they can get their own guy back in there. And then they'll probably give that all back to him, provided he's going to play nice. Maybe not. I think they're so power crazy. And so they just love the idea that it's their money.
Mm.
It just comes back to the lack of a plan. If they had a plan, much like the Affordable Care Act, if there was a plan, if they had an alternate infrastructure bill, if there was a plan, there's never a plan. It's just to say no to things. And that money is eventually used instead for tax cuts geared to the very wealthy. It's not a plan.
Diane Hendricks, just an average American, everyday American, Pat. She spoke last week at the RNC. Yeah. Pat Kreitlow has been our guest. Thank you so very much, Pat. Catch him tomorrow morning here on WAUK from 6 to 8 a.m. Appreciate it. Stay close.
Thank you.
News is coming up next. And when we return, we're going to learn about repurposing churches.
Mm-hmm.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, I believe she's see.